The following programming is sponsored by Bishop Mary Enterprises, LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Real.
Real.
Relaxed.
Relaxed.
But relevant.
But relevant.
She's an absolute professional with a homegirl feel. Welcome to the Bishop Mary Show with Bishop Mary Foy Palmer, where she will discuss both religious and secular topics with various guests from all walks of life. So thanks for tuning in to the Bishop Mary Show. And now, here's Bishop Mary.
And top of the morning to you, top of the morning to you. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Little kind of overcast, but the sun is starting to crest, and so it is yet a beautiful day in the neighborhood. And I certainly hope that if you are at home after this holiday season and you are now resting and you don't have anywhere to go, grab a cup of coffee and join us for this really spirited conversation I have with my colleagues here today. So I don't want you to tune or turn off the station, but join us, will you? And we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Are you in need of primary care services where you feel like family? Do you want to go to a place with a caring and passionate staff that cares about you and wants to make sure that you receive all of your services not only in one place, but you holistically become better? Let me suggest Dedicated Senior Medical Center. Hi, this is Bishop Mary, and I need you to get to one of the five locations throughout the city of Philadelphia. North Philly, West Philly, South Philly, Mayfair, and Olney. They will be happy to receive you. Now, to qualify, you must be 55 and older and have the Medicare Advantage plan. And if you don't, they have somebody there. They'll be able to help you get on board. So try Dedicated Senior Medical Center at a location near you today. And know that when you call the Dedicated Difference, you won't be disappointed.
More than a year ago, an invisible and underestimated virus rocked our world, killing 4.55 million people worldwide, including 719,000 in the United States. And the numbers are still rising. Regardless of race, creed, gender, or economic status, we've lost families, friends, neighbors, and colleagues to this unseen killer that rocked us to our core. But yet, we still had hope. Hope that we held on to by our prayers. Now we have three vaccines available to us: Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, and Moderna. In order to make the choices best for you, consider these three things. First, you must trust the science. Secondly, trust the influencer. And thirdly, trust the authorized vaccination site administering the vaccine. And please, continue to wear your mask, continue to social distance yourselves, and practice proper cleaning habits. If you do your part, we all will rise victoriously.
Nothing like the voice of the late, the great Luther Vandross, his Christmas song, This Is Christmas. And when I listened to the words of it, he was speaking about our Savior, Jesus Christ. And one line that he said, two lines he actually said in that is, Lord, teach us to love. And the other was, Even if you don't know, he's always there. So that is just an opening to this spirited discussion that I'm hoping I'm going to have with three of my guests that are with me. First, let's have our lady. This is Dr. Tashonda Williams. Good morning.
Grand rising, grand rising. How are you?
Grand rising, grand rising. She got that. She definitely got that. She up on day two of Kwanzaa. And then we had to have... Come on, it's me and you against the boys.
Yes,
come on here.
Yes, yes,
the men
yes.
in the house. The
oh, I didn't know it was going to be like that.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be like that.
I would have dressed better.
Yeah, y'all had to see this outfit chick got on. I'm going to take a picture and post it.
Hollywood.
She came ready, I'm telling you. And then we have, of course, Dr. John Thompson, who's my ministry partner. He's here with us.
Good morning. Good morning. Great to be here. I'm looking forward
and
to
then coming. With us also is Elder Tim Worthen, and he's already been here a couple of times. And we're so grateful you're with us here, sir.
Good morning. I'm happy to be back. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. What a day. What a day. So our topic today, I figured we would end the year because all of us are in ministry. We all come from family legacy, so I'm going to start off with asking each of you to give us about a minute introduction of who you are and who you're attached to, and then we'll get into the conversation. Dr. Tashonda.
I am Dr. Tashonda Williams, a.k.a. Purple Queen, Queen Ooh. Of Mental Health. I hail from Nicetown, Germantown, and Cayuga location. I am the daughter of the late Dr. Barry J. Williams, who was the former senior pastor of New Inspirational Baptist Church. Currently, I serve the people as a social entrepreneur, as a gift to society, as a social activist. And I just love people. I love people. I love helping to heal hurting people as a therapist, a grief counselor, and just many of the other things that I do throughout the city of Philadelphia.
All right. Dr. Thompson.
Good morning to all. I am John Thompson. I am the middle child of the late Elijah, Dr. Elijah Thompson and Ann Thompson, who pastored Goodwill Baptist Church on 4700 block of Germantown Avenue, up from where you guys are presently. Was there for, I don't know, 40, 45 years he pastored. Fourth generation preacher, got a lot of stories, a lot of issues, can be discussed here today. Looking forward to it. Presently, I'm the servant leader at, Heavenly Hall in West Philadelphia. I've been in the ministry now since 1976, ordained and all of that. And so a lot of, war stories and, in the service for the Lord.
Amen. Elder Wortham.
Yes, my name is Elder Tim Wortham. I am a husband, a father, a recording artist, author, the minister of music at Refuge Temple of Jesus Christ in South Philadelphia. I serve as associate vice president of alumni and family engagement at Eastern University. Biologically, I'm the son of Timothy Wortham Sr., who was an evangelist in the church, and I was then all but legally adopted by the late Bishop Robert Bussey Sr. And served him in ministry for many, many years.
Wow. And I am, as most of you know, Bishop Mary, but formerly Archbishop Mary Floyd Palmer. I am the firstborn daughter of the man known as the Dean of Evangelism. Our family car was the van with the coffin on top. Amen. So our witness was in your face and is credited for having saved thousands of souls on the streets of Philadelphia. Presently, I am the presiding bishop of the Philadelphia Council of Clergy. I am also overseer of Heavenly Hall Church, where I serve with Dr. Thompson in caring for God's people there in the Bottoms, which was actually the area that my father began his ministry. So we all, he is with my mom in heaven, probably looking down. And if they have their front row seat, I'll get the critique afterwards. that's the kind of house I come from. You said this wrong. You should have said that. Didn't say too much. Didn't do this. I mean, we just come from the kind of houses, all being PKs.
Right.
And I am third generation PK on my paternal side. with my great grandmother, my skipping my grandmother, then my father, which was the second, and then I am now the third, and actually the first woman on the paternal side to be a preacher. So that's great for us to get into the conversation because as PKs, we're going to let the boys talk for a minute.
Oh.
Why is it that y'all get away with stuff?
Wait. It's always ladies first.
No.
Gentlemen. It's Monday morning. We are gentlemen. Y'all can just
I figured, I'm running this show.
See?
I'm going to let
Doc,
y'all.
Doc, you want to stay on, Doc? What you want to do?
I was going to ask the guys, why is it that you think that male PKs can get away with a whole lot more than female PKs? What are the expectations, or shall we say the allowances, given to males versus females, if we were even given?
You smell
the opportunity.
I smell a conspiracy.
It's in the air.
But I'm gonna let Elder, praise God, go
yes.
first.
How did I know that was gonna be? You know, I mean, if I'm honest, I would say that it's no different than societal expectations. I think that you know, women are placed. We're still very patriarchal. Whether we like to admit it or not, you know, we preach and we sing all the right things, and God is no respecter of persons, and in Him there is no male nor female. But when it comes down to it, across the board, in church and secularly, there are always different expectations for how women should carry themselves and govern themselves than men. And I think it's no different when it comes to PKs.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Thompson.
Oh, well, I think my brother hit the nail on the head. As I mentioned, I'm fourth-generation preacher. And in the generation before me, my grandmother had 15 kids, 9 living, 6 of them were men who were preachers. No, at that time, that era, there weren't many female preachers. And, you know, that was not their place. And so strong patriarchal growing up. And so it was looked to for the next generation was, okay, what's my son's going to do? They'll take on the legacy, and that's something that was poured into us, and it was almost an expectation. And so that was the era, you know, these old guys lived in, and, you know, my boy, you know, that's my boy, you know, can, you know, do no wrong because, you know, well, then again, you know, he's going to follow in my footsteps, but prayerfully and gratefully, Elder Wortham, we all did not follow in all of their footsteps.
Mm.
That's all I'm giving up of the tapes.
Wow.
That's really interesting because that was not my experience. I hadn't realized how groundbreaking my dad was then as I understand now. Mm. Because my father at the time, he ordained and licensed, and we had a woman preacher as our assistant pastor, the late Reverend Letha Glover.
Mm-hmm.
We had about 3 other women on our ministerial staff that were women.
And this was when, like?
This was in 1979,
okay. 80. Oh, wow.
Right? And so I grew up with women in the pulpit, and then they were older women, of course, and me being a young girl growing up looking at these
denominationally, just
we are Baptists. Well, we call ourselves Baptistolic.
I understand, but back then it said, okay,
Baptist, right? And so people would say, because my father would minister in apostolic churches, Pentecostal, holiness. So when people come to New Inspirational, they've always said we had that apostolic Pentecostal flavor.
Yeah.
Right? And so there was times we went into other churches and we were shut down. We couldn't bring in tambourines. We couldn't shout. Yeah. Yeah. We understood, you know, when we speak in tongue, there should be an interpreter. We understood the order of order. And so having a woman in a pulpit, I've always seen that. Mm. And I think because I was born the oldest, my dad always toted me with him. Now, I can sing, so of course he'll preach and then I'll sing. But then he'll start having me come with him to pray with people in the hospital. I start going to the funeral homes with them. Mm-hmm. And I used to always say, why are you always taking me? Why don't you take my brothers? Because I've seen other ministries and pastors with their sons, mm-hmm. but my dad always had me. But it's just interesting as I'm listening to you guys speak, I didn't have the experience.
I did to some degree, but my father did the same. He took me almost everywhere. I rode with him in the car. I was around him. I was that kid that hung on his, literally on his knee, his mm-hmm. pants legs. And even in ministry, he jokingly told several of his evangelism classes, well, when somebody had the wrong kind of knock on the door, I could expect Mary to come down in her footy pajamas with her newsy self wanting to know what's going on.
Right.
I rode with him. He carried me almost anywhere. I was always around the men, but I was that little girl in the room that just sat there and listened and watched. And my late godfather, Lee Mason, had ordained our former representative into the ministry. That was just like a whole thing, mm-hmm. you know. Oh my God, she's going to be preaching. And then along with her came Arlene Churn, and other ones started popping up, but they were few and far between in the Baptist denomination. Mm-hmm. In the apostolic, the holiness, the Pentecostal, we were able to see women bishops, if you're dealing with Holy Temple or Church mm-hmm. of America, and different ones where the women really were prominent and dominant. They were bishops, they were pastors, they were evangelists, missionaries. And we were just like, oh, that, you know, the Baptists believed that they were sinners because the women were out of order, right. where they're married to the elder or the deacon,
right.
and she's over him.
Right.
And so they would say, you never want to be in it. I did not realize, like you, that my father bringing me along was preparing me mm-hmm. without him saying it.
Yes, yes.
He wanted me to see it. I was at every funeral. I'm playing, mm-hmm. I'm singing, I'm officiating. I did all of that. And then finally, when he came and he yielded to what God told him to do, he said, you've been more than prepared
mm-hmm.
because you've been with me. So I used to get upset because when we went to other churches where the pastor's sons were there, you know, there was this thing that, you know, they're going to be the greatest preachers in the mm-hmm, world, you mm-hmm. know, because they're following their father's footsteps and, mm-hmm. you know, they can preach like a toad and then they're going to marry, you know, deaconess's daughter or mm-hmm. granddaughter and they're going to have a perfect wife and carry on the next legacy. And now I'm sitting here saying, well, what about us?
Mm-hmm.
No, you need to marry a preacher and be a pastor's wife.
Right.
You need to be the church secretary. You know,
right.
you need to be the minister of music. But, you know, you want to marry a PK. So
right.
that's your closest wing to get into the pulpit.
Yeah, yeah.
And am I making sense?
No,
here?
I remember as a child growing up, of course, when you grow up in the PK home
mm-hmm.
and you have uncles and aunties and cousins in the ministry and everybody comes over and the parents, in my household, the parents were downstairs at the table mm-hmm. having biblical Bible study discussions. And the kids, we were upstairs playing church. And I remember I used to always argue with my cousin, I want to be the preacher. And he would tell me, no, you're a girl. Girls are not preachers. And I'm like, I've been fighting this task for a long time.
Wow.
I mean, at least we had parishioners at that time who were our teddy bears and baby dolls. And my sister used the radiator as the piano. But I was trying to get behind the dresser on a little crate to be the preacher. And he's like, no, you're a girl. And it was funny because when he came to visit, I said, no, who the pastor now?
And it's you know,
y'all got some issues.
No, because I'm about to ask y'all, what are y'all? and how is it? And of course, the topic today is, you know, shall we continue the family legacy? Meaning, we all come from families with a noted legacy,
right?
Usually from the patriarchal side, let's just say that. In this season, are we expected as women or men to continue what they started?
Mm-hmm.
Do we do it the same way? Are there addendums or amendments to that?
Mm-hmm.
What are the pros and cons that you have experienced in having a family legacy? And then we'll talk about if there needs to be a change. What are the pros and cons of the family legacy that you all have experienced?
Elder? Yeah. You're not here, so you got to jump in, Doc.
I was just here trying to think of. I mean, pros and cons. I think one thing that's probably a pro and a con is the expectations. You know, you kind of have an entryway because people expect you to be a certain thing, and so they give you opportunities. But then at the same time, I think that the con becomes people expect you to be a certain thing a certain way. So I know for me, my ministry style is drastically different than my father's, and so my presentation is different, and it often causes me to wonder, all right, well, will I be accepted as I am, or do I need to sound like him? Do I need to, you know, preach the way people have come to expect preaching to sound in our culture? And that can be rather challenging. But I would say, as far as the expectation to carry on legacy, legacy for me is salvation, not your ministry gift, right? Mm-hmm. So my job as a parent is I need to be in tune with the Spirit of God and be in tune with my children to discover what he's placed in them, not to try to place what was in me in them. So I want to make sure that I'm encouraging and cultivating them in their gifts so that they don't feel pressure to be. It's just like athletes. I felt so bad for Michael Jordan's son, because not only did he try to play basketball, he had his name also. But he was not Michael Jordan. It was very apparent from, you know, early on, he was never going to be Michael Jordan. But I always wondered, did he feel the pressure to just pick that up and go with it? Now we have LeBron James' son. We have Dwayne Wade's son. And every time they have a bad game, they get criticized more than any other. Like, other kids are out on the floor stinking to join up, but their names are not James. It's not Wade. It's not Jordan. And so that is a struggle for PKs coming up. When you carry that name and that legacy, you also carry that expectation.
Excellent words.
Yeah.
Dr. Thompson.
Oh, man. I'm trying to. This question is just crazy. I don't know if we have enough time. You always, the expectations, you again hit the nail on the head, Doc. I thought about, you know, you have to find your own path.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's always the challenge, you know, whether you're following a basketball icon or, you know, political, the Kennedy family or whatever, you know. You are the Williams family. You are the Floyd family. You're the Thompson family. And I've got, you know, family members. Ashley Rice sings everywhere. Artist. Rhonda Lady. Christine sings everywhere. Jasmine. I'll tell you one. Jermaine Blanford plays for Jasmine Sullivan. We're just at the Kareem. Played every all church, plays for everybody. A.K. Williams, all Zach Williams, all that.
You got Eric Wortham, who plays for Adele.
That's right. Tim's the cousin.
It's crazy.
Amazing.
It is. So you're coming. So, but we got to find our own path. Now we came, you know, we came from a generation of preachers and pastors, and so, you know, we're expected to all be pastors. But again, Elder, you hit the nail on the head. It's really about ministry and finding out, you know. Prioritizing, okay, it's really about people coming to Christ. That's really what it's about. In what form you use your gift to do that, what that might look like, it, you know, it may not look like ministry in the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s, and all of that. And so, you know, look here now, with crime and COVID and all of that kind of thing, you know, we're just getting back to the church, or now coming back out with Omicron coming out. We have to minister in a new way to millennials, to new people. And so we have to find where we fit in and be comfortable in that skin and not trying to please pops or, you know, God rest their souls or grandmom, you know. The Lord has to be pleased with us in all of these areas and circles. And I thank God that wherever we're reaching out to, Zeke Locke and on Chicago, you know, good friends with Fred Hammond, up and come, all of that. We got to find where we fit in and how the ministry can get out in ways that our foreparents never envisioned.
I think for me, when I was asked about the show, what came into mind was the first words that was ever recorded publicly by Jesus was when he was 12 years old in Luke chapter 2, 41, when his parents took him to the Feast of Passover. They left him because they assumed he was amongst the company of family and friends and realized he wasn't with them. And they went back to Jerusalem and he says to them, in other words, paraphrasing, why are y'all looking for me? I'm on my father's business.
Gotta be.
And when I first learned of that account of Jesus saying that, I never took in consideration that he was 12 at the time. And out of that, I started thinking, I said, a 12-year-old child understood three things. He understood his identity.
I ain't got no money.
He understood his destiny.
Ain't no offering.
And he understood his obedience, his commitment. And when I was thinking about this, I said, it's about the identity, knowing that I am a child of the living God, that I have been given a privileged position. Because when you think about it, we being born into a family of believers, that's a privileged position. And I've carried that with me for a long time, knowing that I thank God that I've been chosen. And all that we experience as PKs, yes, we have to find our own sense of identity. We have to understand our destiny, and we have to be committed to be obedient to the call that is on our lives. And I always try to encourage other PKs to understand that they have a privileged position, that God has given them an opportunity. And no disrespect to any other religious believers or any other religious faiths out there, but when you're born into a family of Christianity, for me, I think it is a privileged position in the sense that it requires us to yield to the call that's on our lives, that our grandmother's 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 grandmother prayed for us. This is a generational prayer, and we have to be understanding. And just in respects of today being Kwanzaa, the second day of Kwanzaa is self-determination, calling out, knowing who you are, and renaming yourself after you come out of some sticky situations. And so I believe, for me, the best role model is Christ. When even at the age of 12, he said, I'm of my Father's business. And that's what we're doing. We're of our Father's business.
Absolutely.
Spiritually and naturally.
I think the pro and con is, for me, that the pro is that I was taught structure. I was raised where the church was the integral part of our life, that our commitment through salvation was to serve the Lord.
Yes.
That you do not make excuses. You do it in excellence, and you do it because, and this was what was said to me, because you have this name and that's what is before you, you will do it to that as long as we are living, or we will sing you to glory early. Now, that might have been a subtle threat, but if I sang, I had to sing like I knew. If I had to play, I had to play. I didn't have a bad day in church because they would correct you quickly. You know, loving God's people, even some of them were mean and nasty. And there was always this extra thing that we have this expectation on you. The pro for me was that I fell in love with the church early. And it never deterred me based upon whether somebody had a bad day, didn't like me, didn't want to be there. I loved getting up early, going to church. But my mother said, get up, it's Sunday morning. I was up, dressed, ready to go. I couldn't wait to get in there and hear the music and the choir and the preaching and being around the people, even though being around the people wasn't always a good thing. Because be honest, you know, because as the PK, you can't, you know,
can't
squirm in your shit. You can't run through the halls. You couldn't do what all the rest of the youth in the church could do, because there was this expectation that you're the pastor's daughters and you have to be this. The con for me is that they often misjudged and did not come to know your identity. You are Melvin's child. So it took people a long time to find out my name was Mary. But then one day, my father jokingly said to me, he said, well, you know, you were supposed to be Melvin. And I started laughing. I said, Daddy, why you say that? He said, because I was shooting for Melvin, but God had jokes and gave me Mary. So A come before E, so God decided to give me a Mary instead of a Melvin. But it took people a long time to know my name or want to get to know me. That was the kind of being the PK in the natural. But the pro was, fell in love with the church. Nothing can drive me from it. I don't worry about the fighting and the police coming and who in charge or large. I learned to love the church just like Jesus did at age 12. I'm going to church and I loved being there and being around other kids that love to be there. So for me, the pro was that. The con was, I could not be Mary. Mm-hmm. I had to be what everybody expected me to be and be that glue and be mm-hmm. that person because that was expected. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the legacy, each of us could probably say there was something good we learned
from the legacy
of what our families taught us that we don't have in this generation now. Kids are given the option to get up to go to church. Right. They're given if you want to be saved. My mother said, you will be saved in this house because mm-hmm. I will not live with the devil. So, you know, it might have people say, oh, she forced you. No, I asked the Lord to make himself real to me mm-hmm. so I could open up my heart mm-hmm. and ask him sincerely to come into my life. Mm-hmm. And the joy that I had was that I not only was led to Christ by my parents, and I came forward at a vacation Bible school, but that Sunday morning, my daddy baptized me right in the church baptism pool. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that was sealing not just my role in the family as a PK, but it also solidified my salvation experience because they lived this thing. When I say 7 days a week, right. No, we didn't have a day off. We didn't do a vacation. We didn't go to the beach. And we, you know, if we did, we did one day. But we ain't giving up no Sunday.
Which now the new generation
absolutely
is now being taught that the leadership should take time for the family and
but they
get
died
a vacation
with their boots on
and have self care.
They were in church
and Sabbath. And I'm like, my Sabbath is the house of God. Like,
yeah.
That's my sanctuary, not my Coliseum.
Well, and that generation, our generations before, they lived this thing.
Yes, they did.
They 52 weeks a year.
Yes.
All day, all night. I mean, I had a Pentecostal great grandmother. I mean, they love Friday night. But Saturday morning, we had grits, eggs, corned beef, hash. Come on, somebody. Because we were in prayer all night Friday night before First Sunday for fruits of repentance.
But some people will argue today, Archbishop, that's why many of the generation of preacher kids now don't want to be in the house of God because they feel like they're bogged down or hogged down and everything is always about church and God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at the two different pendulums of it is, and I'm like, I'd rather be in the house of God for 7 days out of the week, comparing what y'all going through today, you might want to go back. You might want
to
go back.
To the old landmark.
Because these folks got so much to contend with, so much. Because
after we got out, we went to what? IHOP? We went somewhere. We fellowship. We even as young people, come on somebody, mm-hmm. we found a place that was an all night diner to sit and still enjoy it. But they don't have that.
They cut the lights out on you in the church. They flickering the lights.
Come on. If you ain't gotta go, you gotta get up
somewhere. Well, but the other side of that though is that you addressed is that today. Well, okay. So, are you gonna take a break here in a second?
I was, but go ahead.
Because I'm rolling something.
You
really
rolling something
here.
Really? Okay. Yes. And so we thank you so much for staying tuned to the Bishop Mary Show. I have with me Dr. DeShonda Williams, Dr. John Thompson, Elder Tim Wortham, and myself, Bishop Mary, on a conversation about should we continue the family legacy? When we return, we're now going to talk about, as has already been hinted off, is how we can embrace that to now time.
Mm-hmm.
Because what was then may not be appropriate, relevant, or needed for today. Maybe needed, but it might have to be done differently. Mm-hmm. So I want you to stay tuned, and we're going to hear a couple of words from those that are listening, and we'll be right back at you.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Davis, Senior Executive Vice President with the National Hockey League. We're proud of the wonderful efforts of our new partners at the Community Healing Project for All to provide community healing, especially to our young people. In addition to providing a free educational resource to children with our in-home and in-school STEM curriculum called Future Goals, we are excited about the communication tools called healing posters. We hope that every time a child sees these wonderful signs in a window, they are reminded that they are loved, valued, and have great purpose. So join us by calling or texting 833-722-4748 and leaving your contact information. Together, we can work to battle our children's many challenges to education and bring a message of hope.
hundreds of shooting incidents and multiple victims. Homicides that were senseless, cold, intentional, killing our men, women, and children in the African American communities. The question is, am I my brother or sister's keeper? Have we considered each other as neighbors? We can wait for someone to come in and save us, or we can save ourselves. The violence must end. Do your part.
Y'all, we wanted to pick it up just a little bit for the rest of my life. All right, I could see, you know, Elder Tim working at organ. You know, I could see me and Deshonda like doing a soprano alto bit, Dr. Thompson on the keys. I mean, we had our own little band and singing that song. That's an oldie but goodie. Yes, for the rest of my life, I'll serve him. Now that you have come from the family legacy, which you have all been born into, all in their respective rights of privilege and certainly prestige. And all of our families got somebody who's somebody who could be somebody who is somebody in the second and third generation. For us directly on this call, how are we able to embrace it, but then amend it without compromising it? And let me just say this. We all believe that Jesus Christ is the answer for the world today. Mm-hmm. He is our Savior. Mm-hmm. Okay, we all saved. So outside of that, tangibly, for ministry today, what is it that we would need to do? And I know you kicked off a little bit on it, Elder, when you said if yours being different is the issue of acceptance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, I would even go back to what was just being discussed, because I am one that's on the, I won't say the opposite end of that pendulum, but I do believe that balance is necessary. And mm-hmm. I feel like imbalance is imperfection, and there is no imperfection in God. So he did not call me. He's never given me permission or reason to neglect my family. Mm-hmm. And it's impossible for me to be accessible and in the temple all the time and not neglect my family. And so I just don't subscribe to that. And I had it modeled for me very well, how you can have balance. And I fear that if I'm in a leadership position and I have someone who needs me to be available 24 hours a day, I need to question whether I have properly taught them to cultivate a relationship with God and not with me. And wow. So I want to make sure that, you know, we're upholding the standard, but also being sensitive to our responsibilities across the board. Because when God made us, he didn't just make us this. You know, he's given us so many roles and responsibilities. And I know how he views marriage. I know how he views family. And so I don't want to use him as an excuse to be neglectful. So I think that we do need to adapt at times. I'm not one who is a proponent of carrying on traditions for the sake of traditions, because tradition is only as valuable as it is effective. And I think sometimes we are so used to a thing that it's hard for us to honestly evaluate whether it has lost its effectiveness and needs to be tweaked and needs to be adjusted and needs to be kind of brought to current. Because the things that worked for us in the 70s don't always continue to work for us in 2021, 2022.
Wow. I was thinking about doing a short-term study on pastors and their families during the pandemic, because the pandemic has had really forced pastors and leaders in leadership positions to really stay at home. No, you couldn't go visit a member in a hospital. Like, literally, your collar did not make a difference. Mm-hmm. They didn't care if you were at the front desk or not. No, pastor.
That's right.
You cannot
go up.
A nursing home visit. Because many times, like our fathers in the past, I know my dad. Listen, I was one of the top athletes in the country in track and field. Okay, I'm an NCAA national champion, 18-time All-American, Hall of Famer, and my dad maybe seen me run track at the pin relays maybe once or twice out of my tenure as a top star athlete. But I understood that daddy had to go visit Mother Bethel in the hospital because she ate too much collard greens and got her leg cut off. Now she got diabetes. Come on, I'm telling the truth.
Come on.
So he couldn't see me run and break a record because he had to go pray for Mother Bethel. Now, the pastor father today, he's not at the hospital. He's not at the nursing home. He's right at home with his children, with his wife, in the same room at the same time, now having to have some awkward conversations. And the pandemic has forced them to have a sabbatical. And so I want to see what are the outcomes. And if Bible study actually happened. No, I'm being honest. I'm being honest.
So we on air.
Because we got to talk about it. It is true.
We got to address the elephant in the room.
You forced. Thank you, God, for the pandemic, because now you're forcing first families to actually feel like they're first in their own home.
Okay, so we did have an order here, Doc. If you notice, you know, you were going first.
Well, you gave us the permission earlier, so I just figured I'm going to take the chance.
Right, I did.
You know,
no, but
they're running this way. So I want to piggyback on what both of you were going. I was going where Doc was going and tag teaming with him, because what y'all are doing, like I said, the signs say on air, y'all lifting up the rug, y'all lifting up the carpet, you know, to see what's swept underneath there. And what really is the model that we're looking at? And sadly, as Elder Wortham was bringing out, you know, we have not all the models were the right models before us growing up.
Mm.
That's just a fact, Jack. Matter of fact, some were bad. I'm not saying they're all bad. I'm just saying, you know, in some areas. And womenizing and money, all that kind of stuff. And so, but let's take it
to during the pandemic. You gotta stay home.
Let's take it to the
day. Can't go nowhere.
Let's take it to the day, because Elder Wortham was saying, you know, some pastors before the pandemic were like Pharaoh. They didn't ever want to let God's people go. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But what was the motivation behind it?
Right.
Because many of them didn't have retirement. Come on here, somebody. Didn't have, and were living paycheck to paycheck, offering plate to offering plate.
Yeah.
Hello here. Come on, put it in my hand. Let me bless it. Mm. Come on in here. And so now y'all let the elephant out or shine a spot on it. So
the motivation.
Many of them, and y'all can't go nowhere. You believers have a life outside the church walls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So they should because amen. the kingdom's real work is in the vineyard.
Yes.
It's in the vineyard.
But growing up, not in some situations. No, y'all don't worry about the vineyard. Y'all come into the house. We all in the house Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We got an offering for we got the orange seed fundraiser. Come on, y'all. We got, you know, shoe size fundraiser.
The wave offering.
Wortham, you went in it. You lifted up, opened the door, and then Williams come behind you. And so we didn't have time to be there with our children and to be at the events.
that our children had, where they had a heart, and you know, I want to see my daddy like everybody else. See me do the things.
But
that
I think the difference with this generation is they want to see their daddies. I think we grew up understanding,
right,
seeing our daddies. But you know how much joy I get when I hear how people say my dad changed their lives.
Yeah,
there was true conversion.
Now you hitting on something here, because
I'd
coming
see
from me,
I'm gonna
tell you.
Let me
say this: that it was tough for me because my daddy took me to Girls High every day in that van, y'all. Y'all
with
don't
the,
understand
the
psychology with the hearse on top, and he pulled it up in front of Alani. He wanted everybody to know this is my child. He didn't just do this to me; he did this to my sister. 7 years. He drove the up Alani.
Hold on one sec. I'm calling a therapist now. I think we can get a two
right
for
up
one.
Up front, you know, when you're waiting in front of a sea of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this your ministry. This ain't my ministry.
You're going to be all right.
This is who you is.
Your kids say to you, oh, your dad going to beat you with the Bible.
But what it did for me.
It was good.
What it did for me later.
Yeah.
As I developed my personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because I understood that this was what he was commanded to do. But I will give my father and mother credit. He never missed a performance when we were with band at Girls High. He showed up at when I ran pin relays. We did ministry 7 days a week, but he would have it on his calendar. He would go to that, then he would say, all right, you did good, Bibby. Pat me on the head, give me $2, and go run off because he got to go meet with women's circle number 2 to give them Bible study or something. But he did. He believed in showing up. And our family time was Memorial Day, July the 4th, and Labor Day, when we would all go to the movies. He picked the movie, of course, and he would say, hush, nobody talk because we watching. You wouldn't know editorials.
No.
It wasn't the Christian movies. My father liked action movies.
Okay.
You know, so he liked police and action, war, and this. And he would say, we going to go see. And then he paid for it, and we all eat. And then we go get pizza or something afterwards. That was our 2.5-3 hour times in those holidays on that Monday when we were off. And then we could all do what we want. And as we got older with our own families, that was still a way of us to kind of congruently come together. Mm-hmm. But I now got the greatest joy when I run into a police officer or a professor or a pastor or someone who says to me, when your father came to this corner and I was high on drugs, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, or I dropped out of the gangs, or he arrested me and he said something to me that I never got arrested again. So for me, if I lost anything,
the gain
I have is that they're in glory.
That's the gain.
That they're saved, that they got their life changed. Mm-hmm. And I might have missed, you know, him taking me out to dinner once a week for father daddy time and all of this, but the greatest crown we ever get is the salvation crown. And to know how many he led to Christ, there are people coming up to me everywhere now. I'm like, daddy, when am I going to stop hearing this? It's a joy for me in his legacy to now be the daughter going on to the second generation. Although I realize that the acceptance of me, because he said to me directly, he said, daughter, you will catch some of my friends and all of my enemies. And the reason is because you're not Melvin, but you were built for this. So you'll know how to look them in the face and still do what God's called you to do with power and effectiveness, and God's going to bless you if you keep your, here they go, hold to the plow and don't let go.
Let me jump in and make a distinction, because it is an important distinction. For those of us who had true, loving models of Christ, it was a difference. You can't help but my dad's ministry led over 10,000, I don't know how many people to Christ, thousands of people to Christ. When there is a difference between a true man or woman of God walking with God that you knew impacted your life, and you even today have people come and saying, somebody knocked on my door or I listened and led me to the Lord, I thank God for your ministry. That's a whole other picture than for the preacher's kids who
grew up in a household where it was
right.
They were
no
about,
communication,
yeah.
And the they whole, had to live under the shame.
That whole pandemic type situation where now we don't communicate, so the
we
kids
don't know
see
nobody.
This, the kids really see it ain't mm-hmm. a, oh, this ain't all about church. And truth of the matter is,
but
before
that,
the pandemic, preachers wasn't visiting the hospitals. And so the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
come on,
mm-hmm.
you, wait,
oh,
come
I
on.
Know all about
you,
it.
Come on now.
Pastor ain't never you... available. He available now. Call the phone. He should be able to answer. He not visiting nobody. But I think that's when I'm talking to some PKs today, they say like, they'll say things like, well, how can I sit under, you know, not naming any names, but how can I sit under my mom or my dad when they don't even get along? When they getting into
family
dynamics and they preaching to the people or they can't even save us and we're trying to tell them that we need to be saved and not just spiritually but figuratively in the natural they really want to be saved and how do you respond to that
and
you know
see,
what I tell people listen David was not the best father King David was not the best father when his daughter got raped some folks say he probably did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he was the apple of God's eye. Something special was upon him, but he wasn't the best father. He wasn't the best father. And so I say, you know, our fathers make mistakes. They make mistakes, you know, and we just only can ask God to lead them, to help them to yield to his voice and his calling, to guide us and direct us the best way they can. But don't leave the fact that your father and your mother cannot get along
As a reason why you don't want to come and do what
you know God calls you to do. You know?
And there's a lot of that. And I'm hoping we'll be able to have a second show on healing for the PKs.
Oh, yeah.
Because there is a real, and I'm like you, I talk to them. And some of them have vowed, I'll never be in a church.
Mm-hmm.
They go into corporate America. They go into all different types of music. They go into all types of different genres just to get away from what they can't get away from.
Mm-hmm.
There's an anointing on their life, whether they like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So just go run and do it and be around wherever you want to be. But that anointing that comes from what God has put on you because you were born into
mm-hmm.
didn't change. David had it. David
mm-hmm.
got anointed,
mm-hmm.
although he messed up God knows how many times.
Yeah.
But the anointing never was
still
lifted
there.
From him simply
yeah.
because they made a choice of a decision.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see all these PKs and they all into all this stuff and their TikToks and their Instagrams and everybody should be glad that they playing for the secular world
mm-hmm.
and their compromise and their the stuff they got to do just to fit in, to get along, like Tim said, you know, the acceptance that my dad's a preacher, but man, I can play them drums, you know, for the biggest rap star, and I listen to that stuff 24/7. And somebody got to pray that spirit don't get in them
mm-hmm.
that will cause them to compromise who they know is the God in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So we will have a follow up call on that. But as we wrap up, because I just see now time's a ticket. As we call up, as we wrap up, I want to be able to give each of you about 30-45 seconds to say. 30 seconds because my engineer gonna cut me off. And I love him. I bless God for him. He's here today, y'all. So we got to give Matt a hand. Amen.
Ooh.
The day after Christmas, he ain't tell me send it, mail it, I'll upload it. He was kind enough to come and I love him for it. But he give each of you 30 seconds to just say whatever is on your heart is a word of encouragement. And we will have another PK circle again on the topic of how we can help our contemporaries, our fellows to heal. What type of healing is needed? All right. Who would I start with? I start with Elder Tim because he's profound and prolific.
Honestly, you know what? The one message I would say in closing is not actually to our fellow PKs, but to everyone else. And that is be gracious to the PKs in your ministry and understand that the role that they have, their life is a life of selflessness, and where you see privilege, trust me, they don't see it that way, and you need to understand you will never know what it feels like to be in their position until and unless you are in their position. So just extend more grace.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly, could say a lot of things. I want to take my time to encourage you to pick up a copy of Daddy Issues, written by my brother Tim Wortham Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Where's Daddy?
What would I do without music? I mean,
easy
can I
read.
Be a good,
good
dad? Great stuff. I love you, brother, for reading this. I promise you that I would go through this. And so PKs, get a copy of Daddy Issues by Elder Tim Wortham Jr. You can get that where, brother?
Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And thank you, bro.
Thank you, man.
He stole my stuff. All right, go ahead.
I would leave this to the PKs. Don't just look at yourself as a PK, as a preacher kid, but remember that you are a promise keeper. Mm-hmm. Stay a promise keeper. Keep your promise to yourself that you will do what God has called you to do and continue the legacy, whether it's in the pulpit or out in the streets. Just be a promise keeper and keep God first in your life.
Yeah. And as I close today, I would tell you that the greatest joy you can have is when you hear well done.
Oh, yeah.
However that well needs to be done in the way that God has led you. Please, sir. Please, ma'am. Do it. Don't be ashamed of where you come from. Your beginnings are a part of who you are. But embrace the right, the wrong, the good, the bad, and then develop yourself for the Lord. As we close on today, the song My Help by Donnie McClurkin's version is just to say, if you need help, reach out. I'm as close to 833-722-4748. And if I need to send you over to a mental health specialist, I'll give you Dr. DeShonda.
I'm here.
Amen. And if you need another brother to talk to, I got two right here. But please, be safe and don't let the devil trick you. To ever think that life isn't worth living. You're needed.
Yes.
And you are valued. Amen. Until the next time on the Bishop Mary Show, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate you. Stay tuned for the next PK Circle Chat right here with us. Be well and be safe is my prayer.
Thanks for tuning in to another dynamic show with Bishop Mary. To contact Bishop Mary, call 833-722-4748. That's 833-722-4748. And she'll get right back to you. Remember, let the healing begin with you. See you next week for another great time together on the Bishop Mary Show.